our ceremony of blessing the candles and then processing here into the chapel was done very simply. But we haven't been able to do that for several years. I think last year we were allowed to have a mass, but the procession was not allowed because of COVID. And I think the year before that, I don't know if we even had a public mass. I can't remember now. But it's been a few years since we were able to gather out there, have the simple ceremony of the blessing, and then actually process with candles into the chapel. So we can rejoice that we're able to participate fully in the liturgy as it's designed. Today we celebrate the presentation of the Lord. In this diocese, it's sometimes referred to as the presentation of the child Jesus because of the parish there in Parañaque, PCJ. So locals know that what PCJ stands for, but when people come from other places and say, I belong to PCJ, or that's in PCJ, or why don't you go to PCJ? No one knows what they're talking about. But it's presentation of the child Jesus. So this is the feast of the PCJ. It's a very rich feast. It's a joyful feast. There's a lot to it. Let's start with this ceremony with the candles, which is, of course, symbolic language. Many of you are studying the document of Pope Francis with us. We have another session this afternoon, but you know that Pope Francis, in that document, laments the world's lack of understanding of symbols, or failure to interpret the depth of symbols. This presentation with the candles is a great example of what he's talking about. You could imagine someone saying, well, you know, it's a bright morning. We don't need candles. It's not even dark out. And we have lights on in the chapel. Why do we need candles? Not only that, we only walked from there to here. What difference does that make? What have we done? In other words, without any interpretation of what we were doing, you could say it has no meaning at all. Or it's simply a ritual action left over from some past superstitious days or a cultural practice that is still left over. And that's how it could be interpreted for someone who doesn't understand symbols. I think no one here is that shallow or superficial, as if to think that we've actually tried to accomplish something practical by bringing candles in here. We didn't make it any brighter in here. We didn't shine light on anyone's path or show anyone the way to the Lord by carrying the candle on the surface. But if we look past that surface, we can find a lot of beautiful meaning here, and it's embedded in the whole feast. Now, if you look at the readings, there's no mention of candles in the readings. There's no mention of a procession. But there is mention of light. There is mention of fire. There's mention of glory. And especially, there's the mention of Jesus being brought into the temple. What does light represent but Jesus himself? Who is the light of the world? Jesus himself. So whenever we are receiving light, even if it's the simple symbol of a candlelight, we are symbolically receiving the light of the world. And if we are carrying light, even if it's a little candle, we are carrying the light of the world, into the temple. We become light bearers. Now, once you make this connection of Jesus and light, then the whole idea of carrying candles is a very rich symbol. I think in PCJ there's a statue of Mary holding a candle. Isn't that near the sanctuary? There's a statue of Mary holding a candle. And this feast day in the Philippine tradition is often referred to as Nuestra Señora del Candelaria. So Candelaria is the recognition that Mary is a light bearer. Mary, by receiving the child in her womb, by bearing the child and by carrying him, is a light bearer. A sign to us of what we are all supposed to do. Receive the light and carry the light into the world. That's the sum of the meaning behind the ceremony, the ritual. See, ritual is not simply empty action. Ritual is a kind of embodiment of meaning that is condensed into simple gestures but the meaning carries us along. And even though we haven't done this ceremony for 3 or 4 years, we immediately know that it has significance. Look at how many people are here to do this. And for a lot of people, the only thing they know about this feast day is the candles. Oh, okay. That's because the candles carry so much meaning for us. I think there's also a superstition about the candles blessed today. Maybe I should dismiss that, because I've heard this in past years. Some visionary or some seer said that when the darkness settles on the world, the only light we're going to have is candles blessed on this day. You don't have to take those things literally. It's not as if candles blessed today are more special or holier than any other candles. But symbolically they are, because they represent Jesus Christ. So if we want light, the most important thing is to welcome Jesus Christ, not to have a candle blessed on February 2nd. So I hope you get that. Don't fall into superstition when you practice devotional rituals. Okay, let's take a look at the readings. You would think that the church would choose as a first reading the requirement of a young mother or a young couple to consecrate their firstborn son to the Lord. It comes from the book of Exodus. I think there's some ritual requirements in the book of Leviticus also. But the liturgy doesn't take mention of the Old Testament requirement, which is fulfilled when Mary and Joseph come to the temple. Instead, the church takes this passage from the prophet Malachi about the messenger of the Lord and the Lord coming to his temple. So the fulfillment, the prophecy that we see fulfilled here, is not simply the fulfillment of the requirements of the old law. That's also here. And Joseph and Mary were good law-abiding Jews, so they did what devout Jews did. But even more than simply fulfilling the law, there's the fulfillment of this prophecy where the Lord comes. Suddenly they will come to the temple of the Lord whom you seek. And the messenger of the covenant whom you desire, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts, but who will endure the day of his coming? So a prophecy that the Lord will come, and the question about whether we're ready for it or not. Well, when the Lord actually does come to the temple for the very first time, the Lord, even though he's only 40 days old, he's coming to take possession of his house, to declare that he is the Lord of this temple. And who is ready to receive him? Of course, Mary and Joseph, they've already received him. But the central figure of receivers here is Simeon and Anna. These are the righteous people awaiting the coming of the Lord. And when he comes, they're ready to receive him. Simeon is a great example of patient waiting in faith. He had a promise given to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. We don't know when he got that promise. We don't know how he got it, but that was planted in his heart. He would not die before seeing the Messiah. Who knows how many years he waited for that? Who knows how many doubts might have entered his mind, or how much darkness he saw in the world waiting for light? And on this day, the Spirit inspires him to go to the temple. And when he gets there, he sees this poor couple with their infant son performing the customary ritual of the law. Not much to see. If he were only looking at things in a superficial way, he would say, well, that's just one more poor baby and one, you know, this happens every day. But he saw more than what was apparent to the eyes. He saw with the eyes of faith that this is the light of the world. And when he takes the child, we don't know if he held him up like this, but we think he did, because what do you do with a light? You hold it up. You don't put a light under a bed or under a bushel basket, right? You hold up a light, you put it on a lampstand, and Simeon becomes the lampstand, holding up the child and saying, now, Lord, you can let your servant go in peace. Now you have fulfilled your promise. My eyes have seen your salvation. This little child is the salvation of the world. Simeon becomes a prophet declaring who this is. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples. Well, not exactly the sight of all the people, because nobody has seen him except a few people. But Simeon is prophesying what this, who this light is and how this light is light of the nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. Even Joseph and Mary were amazed at this. They who knew who Jesus was and who knew he was the light of the world, they didn't expect some old man to come along and hold him up and declare it to everybody that this is the glory of the people of Israel, that this is the light of the world. It says here, they were amazed at what was said about him. Okay, there's a lot happening here, and maybe I can't go into everything. At least we should acknowledge what Simeon says to Mary. This child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. This child who is light will not always be welcomed as light. Some people prefer darkness, and for those who prefer darkness, they will reject this child. And then Simeon says to Mary, you yourself a sword will pierce. There's sorrow to come, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon is, because he's speaking prophetically, he sees what is not evident to the eyes. He sees Mary's role in the work of establishing the kingdom of light. It's going to be a role of suffering. The birth pangs of the new kingdom will be written right in her flesh. Okay. Let me just make one last point here. When it comes to light, there are two dynamics that each one of us has to understand. First of all, we receive light. All of us receive light. Light shines on us. Mary and Joseph received the light 40 days ago. Simeon and Anna received the light on this day, February 2nd. The other dynamic is carrying light, bringing light out to others, letting light shine, giving light. And we have to do both. If we don't receive light, of course, we have nothing to give. But receiving light and not giving it is incomplete. In fact, it's a kind of injustice. We're not simply given light for our own sake. Everyone who receives light has something to share with the world. Every one of us who's here in this ceremony has a candle. It might seem to us like a little light, but it's a lot more than most people have. We live in a dark world. People have almost no light at all. So to come along and be a bearer of the light of Christ is a great gift to the world, even to those who don't want it. So let each of us take our place as Simeon, as Anna, as light bearers, welcoming the light, but also bringing light into the world. Amen.